السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك، اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves, and we send peace and blessings on our beloved, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of His creation, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, His Ahlul Bayt, His lineage, His companions, and all those who follow Him till the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the hearing channels of our hearts to His words and His remembrance, to show us truth as the truth and help us to follow it, and show us falsehood as falsehood and help us to stay away from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in useful ilm, and may He never allow our hearts to go astray after He has guided us. Ameen. The surah that we are going to cover today is Surah Al-Kawthar, which is surah number 108, so we are at the end of the Quran, and this is a surah that is known and memorized by every adult Muslim and every child, because it is the briefest of all surahs, only three verses, and we frequently recite it in almost every salah because it is so brief. But in a few verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, as a miracle to us, for us, He has instilled these few verses with so much meaning and so much reflection that we can feel sometimes overwhelmed by it. And we are going to study that today, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna a'tainakal kawthar. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Inna shaniyaka huwal abtar. Simple meaning of it is, in the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the Beneficent, we have certainly given you Al-Kawthar, an abundance of good. So pray to your Lord, to your Rabb, and sacrifice to Him alone and for Him alone. Surely, He who hates you is the one who is cut off. Most of the Mufassirun have called this the Makkan Surah, and if we look at the context in which it was revealed, it fits with the early Makkan period, where the Prophet ﷺ was giving his da'wah to the Quraysh, to his family, and was meeting resistance and was being ridiculed. People would insult him. People would call him liar. They would say he is insane. They would call him a madman, a magician, all kinds of names, which were personal assaults against his character. And then some who were very, very evil then descended to a level that is even lower, which we will come to, of personal attacks at a time when somebody is most vulnerable. Now, there is a narration, if you read the tafasir, that some have said that this may have been revealed in Medina, and that is based on a hadith from Anas bin Malik radiallahu anh, who said that while we were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the masjid, he dozed for a while, and then he lifted his head smiling. And he said, what means, verily a surah was revealed to me. And then he recited, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shaniyaka huwal abtar. So if this report is true, there is some evidence in support of it being Medinan, but the majority have considered it a Makkan surah. So let us examine the backdrop, the cultural backdrop in which this was revealed. As you know, the Arab society of the time was a tribal society. It was a very violent society with a lot of wars, a lot of violence. And therefore, the protection of any individual depended on his family, and then on his clan, and then his tribe. Because there was no central authority. It was not like the nation state of today, the countries, and you know, the country protects its citizens. So there was no nation state at the time with central governance and authority. And therefore, since your protection depended on your physical strength, there was a lot of value to having sons. Because sons would grow up, they would be strong, they would be fighters, they would be warriors, they would be the ones who would earn. So in this Arabian cultural society of the time, the son carried a lot of value, whereas the girls were considered weak and a liability, that they can't protect you. In fact, even when you raise them, they will get married and they'll go and settle somewhere else. And therefore, the lineage of that family would continue through your daughter, whereas your own lineage and legacy, your protection, your defense, would be through your sons. So anyone in such a society without a male progeny had really no protector and was considered weak. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us a little bit about this society of how they considered boys versus girls when they were having children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nahl, the B, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَ ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. And when the news of the birth of a female child is brought to any of them, his face becomes dark and gloomy, and he is filled with inward, with kadhim, with inward rage and grief. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَتَوَارَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. He hides himself from the people because of the bad news he has received of the girl being born, thinking, shall he keep her with disgrace and dishonor or bury her in the dust of the earth? Certainly, how evil is their judgment and decision. So as many of you know, it was a custom in many of the tribes that the fathers would bury their daughters sometimes alive. Just imagine. So in this environment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so willed that he had no support or protection at all. How is that? Before he was born, his father, who would be his primary protector, passed away. When he was still a young 5-6 year old young boy, his mother passed away, so he is completely yatim. 2 years later, his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, who was taking care of him, passes away. He has no brothers, he has no sisters, so he has no horizontal support later. Then his uncle, later on, when he needs him the most, passes away. So what is his immediate family? Yes, he is from the noble clan of Banu Hashim, and he is from the tribe of the Quraysh, but they are opposing him. So what is his family? As you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the age of 25, married our mother, Sayyidatina Khadija, radiyallahu anha wa ardaha, and with her, he had 6 children. Zainab, Ruqayya, Kulthum, and Fatima, radiyallahu anhunna, the 4 daughters. And he had 2 sons. The first one was Qasim. That's why his kunya is Abul Qasim, the father of Qasim. Now it's unclear from the history books whether Qasim was born before Zainab radiallahu anha or after. And Qasim radiallahu anha passed away before the age of 2. So his first son had passed away. And this was before the declaration of prophethood, before the revelation came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had one more son with our mother Khadija radiallahu anha, whose name was Abdullah, who was also called At-Tayyib and At-Tahir. Now it's also unclear in which order he was born. And he died in infancy, before the age of 1. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have any children other than those till much later in Medina, when his only other child was his son Ibrahim, who was born from his wife Maria Qibtiya. And he, Ibrahim radiallahu anhu, also died before the age of 2. Every one of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away in his life, except Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha, who survived him and passed away 6 months after his death. So this is the challenges, the trials that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced, who had lost his father, his mother, his grandfather, his uncle, his wife Khadija radiallahu anha, and all of his children, 3 sons, 3 daughters, except 1. No brothers, no sisters. That's why he said, I have been tried more than any other prophets, and the prophets were tried more than anyone else. Now, what was his prophetic family at that time? He lived with our mother Khadija radiallahu anha. There were 4 girls there, and there was Zayd bin Haritha, who had been originally a slave servant. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him freedom and called him Zayd ibn Muhammad, like an adopted son at that time, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed those rules. And he had one more young boy living in his household, who he had taken, who was his cousin, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, because his uncle Abi Talib was in dire straits financially. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took Ali radiallahu anhu to live in his house as his household, and he was his first cousin also. And there was Ayman, who had been like a mother to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the time he was born. She is the one who received him at the time of his birth and lived in that household. So this is the household in which there is only one adult male, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this should have been a moment of weakness, yet look at the strength of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With no support structure, with all the opposition of the tribes and clans, and they are opposing his message, they are ridiculing him, and then at some point they're offering him deals. Deals such as, we will make you our leader, we will make you the richest, we will give you all the most beautiful women. And he's rejecting all of that. And then they came with another deal. We will worship Allah alone for 1 year, and the next year we will all worship the idols and we will alternate this. So anyone in a weak position would compromise something like this. But what does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. O Quraysh, O you who disbelieve, كَافِرُونَ, I do not worship what you worship, and you do not worship what I worship. Is this weakness or is this strength? He does not compromise on the most basic principles, the constants of our deen. This is important for us to remember how difficult it was for him. Yet, he did not compromise on this. And this should make us reflect how often in our lives, when we are challenged in a difficult environment, in an Islamophobic environment, we bend rules, we try to compromise, we try to become more friendly or compromising or open to compromise with others. So when Abdullah, the second son, passed away, it was a moment of great grief and sadness for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that moment, some of the people that were close to him, it is narrated that Abu Lahab, who was his paternal uncle, when he heard this news, now when such a thing happens, when you lose a little child, even your enemies come for condolence. But Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl, they were rejoicing and they were shouting in the streets, قَدْ بُطِرَ مُحَمَّدْ قَدْ بَطَرَ مُحَمَّدْ. Indeed, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been cut off. Batara. Cut off means there is no lineage after him. He has no sons. So there is no legacy after him. And one of the enemies of Islam by the name of Al-As ibn Wa'il would tell people, leave him, don't worry about him. He is a man who is cut off because he is cut off from his descendants. He has no male children. So when he dies, his deen will die with him. No one will even remember him. So when he dies, his religion will die and he will never be remembered. There was another one by the name of Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayt, who would say similar things. There was a chieftain from Medina who came in at the time by the name of Ka'ab ibn al-Ashraf. And the Meccan said to him, you are from Medina, look at our situation. We take care of the Kaaba, we provide for the Hujjaj, we have this. And there is this man, this orphan, Muhammad, who we raised, and he says this. So what is your opinion? He said, you are all better than him. This was his verdict. So just imagine you having lost a child, and these are the personal insults that are being hurled at you. What difficult situation, how hurt, because after all, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a human being. How hurt he must be. Yet, this was the decree and hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he was to have no surviving male progeny, no child. Three boys, three out of three passed away before the age of two, because Allah had so destined it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of any man among you, but he is the messenger of Allah, and the seal of prophethood. And Allah has perfect knowledge of all things. This was the decree and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this critical moment, when he's being challenged for about his message, he's being persecuted, his followers are being tortured, he loses a child and they hurl more insults at him. In his grief and in his hurt, to lend him support, to console him, and to help his grief and distress by giving him great positive news, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Al-Kawthar. Al-Kawthar. Now the word Al-Kawthar, scholars have said, comes from Kathra. Kathra means abundance. Both in Arabic, Kathir, Kathra, and in Urdu also we use it. Kathra means abundance. So Al-Kawthar is an abundant goodness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have certainly given you Al-Kawthar. Means it's in the past tense. Means it has already been given. It has been declared. It has been given to you. Even before you were born, it has been given to you. It has been assigned to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a special gift. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who was the great scholar of the Quran, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself declared and whom he prayed for, he says that Al-Kawthar means endless abundant good. Khairun kathir. Abundant good that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dunya and the akhirah. And so some of the companions said, Ya Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, but what about the river Al-Kawthar in Jannah that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, the river in Jannah Al-Kawthar is part of that abundant good, but not the only good that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this river in Jannah, which is called Al-Kawthar in the Akhirah, is described in many authentic hadith by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including what he saw in his mi'raj. And the Hawd, where we are going to gather with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is part of the Kawthar. It is filled with the water of Kawthar. And it is, as the hadith says, surrounded by, they are called aniya, cups, or goblets, or something special that are nothing like we know, which are as many as the stars in the heavens, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because each one will be given to one of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of his followers, by the noble hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, filling drink. So the hawd, the pool, which we will reach after we have crossed that bridge where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be waiting for his ummah, is filled with Kawthar. The banks of this river are described in the hadith as being made of gold and special hollowed pearls. And the water that flows is pure. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it is whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. And it smells like the best of musk. And the pearls and the pebbles on which this river flows are made of gems, of rubies and pearls and emeralds. And he said there are domes of pearls on the shores. In another hadith, he said, there are beautiful birds. And he described them with long, beautiful necks. He described them like a carrot. And he said, if you eat them, he was telling Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said, Ya Umar, if you eat them, you will become even more beautiful. So there is special blessings in this river. Now this river was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if you think about it, it was given to us. Because who's going to be drinking from it? The Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this river of Al-Kawthar is also a gift to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever drinks from this, from that ania, that goblet, will never again feel thirsty. After that, what you drink in Jannah is not for anything else except for pleasure. It's not for quenching the thirst. So now let's reflect on this explanation of Kawthar, of abundance of good in the dunya that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was granted. So just if we go through it. Number one, he was honored with prophethood. And not any prophethood, but being Khatam al-Nabiyyin, as we just read in the Quran. The seal of all prophethood. That on the day of judgment, no one will enter Jannah till Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters. No one will be given intercession before him. The flag of Hamd will be in his hand. This is in the Akhirah. But how about in the dunya? He was given the Kalam of Allah. He was given the Quran, the greatest gift that mankind has ever been given. He was given a special status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has been granted the Maqam Mahmood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicated 3 surahs in the Quran to him, 2 which we have already covered, and Al-Kawthar, the third one. They are dedicated to him. Wad-Duha, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, were you not an orphan and we took care of you? Were you not searching and we guided you? Were you not in help and in need of protection and we protected you? And then the other surah, which is Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa rafa'ana laka dhikrak, and we have elevated your mention. Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, do you know what rafa'ana laka dhikrak is? How Allah has elevated your mention? He said, no. He said that your name will be taken along with the name of Allah. Till the day of judgment, Allah has attached your name with his. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is a narration in the hadith that this, his name is written on a special place on the undersurface of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that narration, when Adam alayhi salam opened his eyes, when he was created, he looked at the arsh and he saw this, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and he said, Ya Allah, who is this Muhammad? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained to him that he is from your progeny who will come in later times. And in one narration he said, and were it not for him, I would not have created the universe. So this is the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did Allah elevate his dhikr? That his name is called over the world every second. There is an adhan going on somewhere in the world. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. In every salah, tashahud, his name is called. At the birth, his name is given in one year, and his name is given in the other year. At death, when somebody is doing salatu janaza, after the second takbir, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina, his name is taken. When we are putting people in the ground, the burial, Bismillah, وَعَلَى مِلَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. His name is taken. He has, what is the abundant good? He has the largest following, the love, the respect of billions in history that exists today and that will come till the day of judgment. The most common name in the world is Muhammad, to honor him. The most followed, the most imitated, the one who is loved unconditionally and honored. He is loved by the sons and daughters of this ummah. He did not have a surviving son, but Allah honored him in the hearts of the sons of this ummah. More love than for their own parents and children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانَكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Tawbah, say to them, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your families, your kindred, the wealth that you have acquired, the commerce, the business in which you fear a decline, and the dwellings, the mansions in which you delight, are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, and striving in the path and fighting in the cause of Allah, then wait, this is a warning, till Allah brings about His decision, His punishment. In other words, if you don't meet this criteria, be prepared for Allah's punishment. And Allah guides not those who are fasiqun. In other words, who does not love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Allah, above everyone else. Allah has said he is not guided and he is fasiq, he is a rebellious one, a disobedient. The children, the sons of his arch enemies who survived, came over to him. Ikrima ibn Abu Jahl became a Muslim and served Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khalid ibn Walid, son of Walid ibn Mughira. Children, women, Ramla bint Abu Sufyan radiallahu anha, married Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Safiya bint Huyay, who was an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, married him. When he was in Medina, you know, the head of the Munafiqun, who were trying to undermine Islam, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, his son was also Abdullah. So Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have heard what my father has been saying about you. He was grieved because he was a believer. He said, I'm grieved at what my father has been saying about you. And you can ask anyone in Medina. No one is more obedient to their father and takes care of their father as much as I do. But if you command me, I will bring his head to you for what he has said. I will bring it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, let him be. This is how much the sons of the enemies loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has no physical surviving sons, but he has a lineage in which we take great pride, the Ahlul Bayt, his progeny through Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib and his beloved daughter Fatima radiallahu anha wa arda. The Ahlul Bayt and the sons and daughters of this ummah. We are his spiritual children and he is our spiritual father. As Allah says, and his wives are ummahatukum, they are your mothers. These are some of that kawthar, the abundance of good, the unending, overwhelming, overflowing good that was granted to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So think of it this way, in that moment of difficulty and anguish and grief, Allah gives him this news. Say, look, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have given you this. This is in the dunya and what is coming in the akhirah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after giving him this good news over which he smiled, he said, فَصَلِّ. Therefore, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. What should you do when you realize his great and infinite blessings? Then, as a consequence of that, فَصَلِّ. Pray to him. Prayer is the pinnacle of loving surrender and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the symbol of Islam. That is the symbol of ubudiyah. A person in sajda, a person in salah, the most beautiful, the most dignified, the most awe-inspiring and noble act. When you see videos of people praying around the haram, when they stand in rows with their heads lowered, standing still, when they bow in unison, when they get up in unison, when they go in sajda in unison, no choreography, listening to the words of Allah being recited beautifully. What an awesome, awe-inspiring scene it is. So many people who are non-Muslims who see that and their hearts are affected. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Once you realize His blessings, then worship Him. Worship symbolized by salah and all other acts of worship. Wanhar, and sacrifice. Because the kuffar used to sacrifice to their idols. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade that. Forbade the flesh of those sacrificed to altars and other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, sacrifice only in the name of Allah. Only then do you have the right to take a life of an animal in the name of Allah for consumption of food. So sacrifice. Pray and sacrifice. And what kind of sacrifice? The best. Don't cut corners. Sacrifice the best animal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made one hajj, the hajjatul wida. And on the day of sacrifice, he had brought 100 camels for sacrifice. That's one har. And with his own blessed hand, he sacrificed 63 camels. Why 63? Many of you have guessed. One, out of gratitude for each year of his life, because he was 63. And the other 37, he gave to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to complete 100. Sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Symbolic of the sacrifice of his father and our father, Abina Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah, and his sacrificing Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, commemorating that no sacrifice, including that of your son, is too great for Allah. Showing to us what that surah said, that my love for Allah is greater than my love for my own son, symbolized in that ultimate sacrifice that Allah has immortalized of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and through him tells us, what should we do once we realize this infinite blessings, this abundance of good that Allah has granted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and through him to us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically addresses those taunts of the people who said, قَدْ بُطِرَ مُحَمَّدْ. He has been cut off, he has been amputated, he has no progeny. His tail has been cut off, nobody to follow him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in verily, shaniyaka huwal abtar. Indeed, shaniyaka, those who hate you, your enemies, your detractors, those who have hostility to you. And that hostility comes from what? Being hostile to your message, to the revelation, to the guidance, to the light that you have brought. Because before that, they did not hate you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna shaniyaka, all those that we mentioned. As ibn Wa'id, Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf, all of those and any others who were ridiculing him, making fun, were joyed that he had lost his sons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of those, inna shaniyaka, those enemies of you, huwal abtar, abtar, not just batar, not just without a tail, but the superlative, like kabir and akbar, batar and abtar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, uses the superlative form, the most cut off, the totally amputated, cut off from all good, cut off from being remembered, cut off from having descendants to remember him, the lowliest. So Allah is saying, indeed, you are not the one who is cut off. They are the ones. And look what happened to them. Who remembers and honors those chieftains of Quraysh? They're only mentioned in disgrace. Even their own progeny, their own children, as we said before, came over to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with their love, with their loyalty. Brief surah. 3 verses only. 9 words. Look at the depth of meaning. This is a surah that made Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam happy and made him smile. In one narration he said, this is more valuable to me than the dunya and what it contains. Is it as valuable to me? Is the all of Quran as valuable to me or greater in value than the dunya and what it contains? So my dear brothers and sisters, what we learn from this, look at the challenges that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced. None among us have been subjected to that kind of challenge, of loss, of ridicule. Just enumerated those. Unbelievable. So when we are challenged and when we are sad, then we should think and reflect on this surah. We should remember the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and get strength from that. Gain strength from the positive news of this surah. And by reflecting on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's other blessings upon us, other than that which we have lost, other than that which in which we feel we are challenged. We must always be positive. Don't ever be a complainer. Whatever happens to you is out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom. It is His decree. And it is His wanting good for you. Human emotions are natural. Human emotions are human. Emotions of happiness, sadness, concern, caution. But our attitude, in spite of all of these, should always be positive under all circumstances of joy, of happiness, of sadness, of loss, of grief. It should always be positive. Why? Why? Because Allah is my Rabb. Because Allah is my Rabb. Never forget that. He is my caretaker. He is my wakil. He is my sustainer. He is my provider. He is my protector. And if He has sent something my way, it is for my benefit. It is for my trial. It is to elevate my status. It is to make Him closer, make me closer to Him. Just remember that. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. To the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically, and to us, Allah has given us an abundance of good. So when you recite this surah, and sometimes people recite it in every surah, but when you recite it in future, don't recite it because it is short and you can get through the salah quickly. Recite it because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam loved this surah. It gave him joy and happiness. What it meant to him, it should mean to you. Because he is your beloved. He is my beloved. Not just because it is short and facilitates us to finish our salah quickly. Reflect and ponder on the weightiness of this surah. Three verses with unending promises of abundance, unlimited blessings in the dunya and akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to drink from Al-Kawthar at the blessed hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he picks up the aniyah, the goblets, and he fills them and he offers them to each one of us individually with his hand. And you can imagine the smile on his face, his beautiful teeth, and his eyes are smiling. And he is reaching out to you with Al-Kawthar. That's what we strive for. May Allah make us among those, and not among those who will be kept away from Kawthar, who will be kept away from the Hawd, because there is that narration that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will identify some of his ummah, and the angels will be holding them back. And he will say, that is my ummah, let them come. I want to give them. And they will say, Ya Rasulullah, they are to be held back because of you don't know what they did after you. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will turn his noble face away from them. What a sad ending. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from ever being among those. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from ever taking the hadith and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lightly. We should love everything that comes from him. We should embrace everything that comes from him. We should try our best to be like him. We will never be. But I love to be like him. I love what he loves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us his company eternally in Jannatul Firdaus. My dear brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast, as you know, extra fast on Mondays and Thursdays. And in a hadith, he said, I fast on Mondays because that was the day I was born. He was born on a Monday. And he used to show his gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by fasting Mondays. This coming Monday, I want every one of you to fast. Do you know why? Because this Monday that's coming also happens to be the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. And that may never happen again in our lifetimes. It's a rare opportunity to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to celebrate the messengership of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mercy to all the worlds that Allah granted us to be from his ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us worthy of being his ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us worthy and be in that core group when he says, raising his head on that day and saying, Ummati, Ummati, Ummati. Even on the day of judgment, his concern is not his progeny, it is his ummah. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he loved me. Can we not reciprocate that love for him? Ya Allah, we ask you of your love that you grant us your hub, and you grant us the hub of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the hub of his Ahlul Bayt, the hub of his wives and of his offsprings, of his daughters, the hub of his companions. Grant us that true love so that we may live and die with that. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you will be with the one you love. And we seek your company, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Allah, make that be the true desire of our hearts. Make that what we aspire for by our actions. And out of your generosity, grant this wish for us. His companionship in the dunya at all moments. His companionship by enabling us to visit him, the ziyarah of his qabr and of his masjid. And grant us the blessings of being buried in his neighborhood in Jannatul Baqi. Ameen, Ya Rab. Subhan. And that ends Al-Kawthar. And inshallah, we will open it up for any questions and comments. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Thank you.